Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to something that's not quite an episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. Heroes, what you're about to hear is a sample of Starwall Odyssey, our Patreon exclusive series that I'm running with people who just happen to live in my house. When we were originally planning this campaign, a lot of us got very excited and very nostalgic about Spelljammer. And up until our very first recording, we were planning on a Spelljammer game. But just as we got our books and were about to start the series, some people very helpfully pointed out that there are some extremely problematic and racist components in the setting of the new Spelljammer for 5th edition. And with this being like the 6th racism-based scandal that I can remember happening with Wizards of the Coast, we all kind of decided that we didn't want to play Spelljammer anymore, but we were really attached to our characters. And because that news broke the morning we were about to record our first session, we're still using the mechanics of D&D in this sample game. We shifted to a different system after this recording, and started changing the setting as we played. Despite the rocky start, I think the game we're playing is wonderful, and I hope you enjoy. Now with that, we start in space. We can see all around us the swirling colors of nebulas and dancing lights of distant stars. Beneath is a meteor. Not just any meteor. This one lies long and flat, with a map dotted with buildings. An entire city built onto an isolated floating rock in space. We get closer and closer and closer, and the details become more distinct. The first question that I have for all of you, what bizarre landmark in this city is the first thing that comes into view as we zoom in from space?
You know how in Vegas they have like a little Eiffel Tower and a Tower of Pisa and stuff?
Yeah.
It's got to be something like that. It's got to be like some kind of, or like an embiggened mundane object that is a tourist destination.
I like that. What's this embiggened object? And anybody can jump in.
I think it's a cauldron.
Yes.
Like a huge, like, iron cauldron that's like smacked into the center of this. It's kind of off kilter.
In fact, this cauldron sits at the bottom of a crater. As centuries ago, it flew through the stellar sea.
We're doing it.
Crashing into this rock and becoming the foundation of the city that was to follow. We can see spiraling out from the cauldron unplanned and circuitous routes, roads between buildings that are made of things that either were crashed or netted or dragged from space in order to build a metropolis here. We can see busy streets full of strange creatures from far-flung dimensions all around the multiverse. We can see the business districts where the streets are literally paved with gold and diamonds. Stretching out from there, we can see condos and buildings that are made out of strange prismatic metals with crimson jeweled windows. And stretching out from there, we can see ramshackle buildings made of brick, mortar, and wood, and materials that you'd recognize from just about any city. And it is in one of these neighborhoods that we find
our building. The place that is home to everyone who will be at the center of this story. On this street, there is a neon sign that shines across from our building with a light so intense that you need to put up newspaper or something else to block it out during the night so you can sleep. What color is this sign and what does it say?
And this is the building, right? This is us?
Yeah, this is across the street from us.
Oh, across the street from us.
Yeah, so the light shines into our window at night.
Oh, I think it's the neon market.
Oh, it's literally the neon market. So it is a neon sign that points to like this massive corridor of thousands of neon signs.
Good, yeah. I think it happens too that sometimes like all of the greens have gone out at the same time and all of the yellows have gone out at the same time. So sometimes you wake up and it's like, ugh, it's a pink day. Great.
There occasionally you wake up and it's like a UV day. Mm-hmm. It's just like that horrible purple and like all the white
makes
on
your
clothes
hurt. Yeah.
Glowing. If you've got a stain on your shirt, it shows up. There is, I think, off in the distance, a landing port where different like cargo vessels and whatnot pull in to make deliveries to the city. That, I believe, is the area where day in and we're like in the mornings, the restaurateurs of the area will like go down to grab the freshest catches in the Stellar Sea. And get the ingredients that they need to feed the hungry people of this city. There is something like in the building immediately next to ours, before we describe our home, I want to know like what like kind of unpleasant business is like directly adjacent to us.
I'm running through the Rolodex in my head of places that pop up and then close down immediately next door to Bob's Burgers. I'm trying to think of like weird or unsavory businesses that might be there.
Oh, there have been several like businesses that catch and get rid of pests.
Pests is always an option.
Pest control.
I'm also thinking about like laser hair removal, but like in a gross way.
Ooh,
something
like,
weird.
Like leeches,
smells
like
yeah. Leeches. Ooh, that, leeches.
That like remove your hair.
Oh, no. Hair leeches. You put the leech on your head. It sucks your blood, but it grows hair. So this is just.
It's medicinal.
It's like a toupee.
Yeah, it's like a medicinal. Like a toupee. It's a medicinal toupee.
I think I might have to X card.
Okay.
It grosses me out way too much.
Okay. We won't do that one.
Let's go.
It is horrifying. That was there, but they closed down right away. They got shut down by the city.
It's one of the ones that.
They got shut down by God.
Literally. Is it just the bug thing? Or is it. So if it was like a lizard.
That's fine. It could be a lizard.
Oh, yeah. They're like geckos.
Oh, yeah.
They're like little geckos with heads that seem a little bit too big, but like their jaw unhinges and they just like go.
Attach.
Over your head. And
I'm
then.
Just, in my head, I'm just going to pretend that they just use their little hands
and
hold on to.
They're like Fuck Friday. They're like.
Yeah.
They're like that wide. They're little, very little wide flat. And flat.
Yeah. I want little flat. I don't need something to eat my
it could
scalp.
Be, it could be that it's James. Like skin to skin contact with this lizard, this space
oh,
lizard.
And
like
these little lizards, they just love to hug.
They love
to
hug.
They love to hug.
I'm better now. Thank
and,
you.
And they're hairy.
They grow hair when they are attached.
Yeah, but it has the chameleon effect, so they can you can change the color of the hair at
great.
Will.
Great.
So now this is a great business.
Now here's the question about these Huggy Boys.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's called.
That's what it's called.
It's called Huggy Boys.
Is this a popular bougie thing to do, like getting mani-pedis and like spa facials and stuff? Or is it like a thing that people do out of desperation for cash?
And this is a decision that you will make. Either this is a first sign of gentrification or this is the sign of your area.
Yeah.
This could even be like a weird bohemian thing that like is a trend amongst like young poets and whatnot.
Hmm.
I think it attracts the rich hipsters, kind of like what happened to Wicker Park. And we don't want the rich hipsters. We want the poor hipsters.
So this is the first sign of gentrification.
Yeah.
Like every other building on this block is built of either brick or wood. And this one is built out of prismatic stones.
Oh, gosh.
It stands out like a sore thumb. If you look at this district from a bird's eye view, you see, you know, all of these like strange cobble and thatched roof houses and whatnot. And there is this one shining dot kind of in the middle of it. The first sign that everybody's rent is about to go up much, much faster.
Gosh. It's like a bougie like weed dispensary. Mm. Question, can Ty be an early adopter of Huggy Boys? I would love him to have at least one Huggy Boy.
Yes. Yes,
he had it before it was cool.
Yeah, man. Ty, absolutely the owner of a Huggy Boy.
Yay.
An OG Huggy Boy.
Yeah, they don't come in these colors anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this one can actually get to like parts of the spectrum you can't really see.
Mm-hmm. Toxic to humans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But... Oh, yeah. That's great. So that means that there's humans out there who are getting like second string fake Huggy Boys to fit in with their startup coworkers.
The special thing about my Huggy Boy is that it only does pastel colors.
MyHuggyBoy.com. My Huggy Boy.
Do you think the businesses around us are like little paper signs in the windows, like no Huggy Boys, like
no vaping, like.
Yeah, well, I think Gen 2 Huggy Boys, like the issue is they're flatulent.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're hideous. They're unsightly, and they fart.
They fart. Constantly. And they're so popular.
So there has to be some places that have like a Huggy Boy balcony. So like you can put a patio, you can put Huggy Boy people on. Oh, man, that's great.
We are spelling Huggy Boys H-U-G-G-Y space B-O-Y-Z, right?
Oh, yeah. I was going to go B-O-I-S.
Oh.
Huggy Boys.
That is very good.
Let me see how I like that look. Huggy Boys.
One of them is the real Huggy Boy. One of them is a knockoff, and not everybody knows the difference. It's the spelling that makes
it. Well, like, okay, so the new building, like the one with the prismatic brick, that is Huggy Boys, but basically without consonants in it, kind of like, you know, like
or no vowels like or no consonants.
Stuff. Yeah.
H-G-G-Y...
Okay, yeah, H-G-G-Y.
Can we split the difference and have it be H-U-G-G-Y, capital B-O-I-Z?
Okay.
Huggy Boys?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, okay. That feels better.
Yeah, so that is kind of open. Like, and the building on the other side of us is like an OG Huggy Boys, like, location. And this is like the upgraded, you know, gentrified Apple Store version of it. So we... come to our building, a long oblong thing made of wood with brass porthole windows, and built onto it, poorly, but still built onto it, is a rusting fire escape. This building goes up only, what is it, three levels? Three stories?
Yeah, it's only three stories.
Yeah, it's a three-story building bolted onto the front. There are awnings that overhang a patio dining that is like directly in front of the diner that is attached to the bottom story of this building. Drew, what is the name of this diner? All that preparation, you didn't name the diner.
I didn't do it. I think it'd come to me. I think it's called Lucky Finn.
I was going to say Lucky Finn. Like a hair away or something.
Well, Lucky Finn is good because we can play with the rabbit thing where it's like, it's got a neon sign on the front that's like a fish with rabbit ears, like winking or whatever.
Cute.
And it's got its little fin out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Lucky Finn.
Lucky Finn.
The Lucky Finn. I think the Lucky Finn is currently closed. It is like late afternoon before it reopens for dinner. There's like a turnover period.
Absolutely. I have a question.
Yes.
How do we tell what time of day it is
in space?
In space. Is our asteroid city moving through space through system to system, or is it like in an orbit around a sun?
Oh, it is free floating in space, but there are satellites around it that like it's like there's like a miniature sun that like some wizard or something conjured up.
They're artificial.
Mm-hmm. And most importantly, advertisements can be hung to them. It's actually a spell metal, like an adamantine band that is just around like a ring, and there's a sun on one side, and like people have figured out that you can like suspend banners that have like messages, so like in Twilight and whatnot, like you can advertise your business on the band.
This place sucks.
Oh my god, do people like go out on the band and like put big art on it and tag it?
Oh for yeah sure. Like the band is train. Constantly tagged up for sure.
Love this.
I think it's amazing because the sun and moon or whatever these satellites are, they go around us and not we around it.
Yes.
And there's some yokels on this thing. They're like, yeah, that's the way it works throughout the galaxy, right? Like the planet is central and the thing goes around. It's like, wait.
Yeah. So I want everybody to give me one detail about the facade of this building. Give it some character. Tell me a story.
I think our building is at an angle that it creates a causeway that goes into the neon market or like onto the next street. So the building is built where we are, but it goes across into another building. So it is, it's that building has built on top of this, and there's like another building that's built like overhanging the top of us. So it's not a part of us, but it's overhanging us. It's obvious that this particular building has been here a very long time. And people have built around it and over it and even like onto it. Like you can see like that old fire escape and those balconies that are on there, which are obviously not what it started as. And there's obviously things connecting from one building to the next building to like prop up the other building next to it. It is a Jenga tower, and it is very much that piece in the Jenga tower that will not move.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It is settled into this like ramshackle collection, and like things have obviously been built up around it and off it and onto it. Like there are, I think, like rope ladder suspension bridges that like run between it and the roofs around here. Like it's anything goes. There's no zoning here in this city. It's wherever you can land and make space for yourself.
I think parts of this wooden building, some parts of it that are close to street level, are extremely ornately carved, and like maybe at one time they were gilded, but it's been a really long time. I'm talking about like there's like filigree and like curves and like swirls and floral motifs carved into the wood, or perhaps even like brass that was like.
Let's clarify something here. A lot of people, when they picture tagging, are probably picturing like spray paint. We meant scrimshaw. And I think everybody was pretty clear that the tagging is scrimshaw that is inlaid with dyes and metals and whatnot from the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's what it's been. So when you tag, you painstakingly carve like intricate things into surfaces and then layer a dye or powder into it. So it has this beautiful ornate effect to
it. Yeah, it's very artistic and very like ornate. And I think that some of the stuff not right next to the entrance to the restaurant, but near it of this elongated building. Some of that ornate carving that has built up over the years is like a destination spot for taking pictures. Like like the Disney walls,
mm-hmm.
where like you go and you stand in front of the purple wall and you take a picture. Like, it's that. So like people who are wandering through this area will come and be like, oh, that's it, that's the wall. And they'll stop and they'll have a picture made.
And we have to make clear that in this universe, pictures are images that people with psychic powers summon onto like some kind of a surface.
Yeah.
So you've got like the psychic bug people that we have will just like focus on you really intensely. And it's almost impossible. If you are a tourist here, it is almost impossible not to get freaked out during this process because they are so intense about how they stare at you when they're taking these mind images.
And then it's like printed on, there's like a sheet of like thin metal or whatever, and you tilt the metal and then the picture pops up.
Yeah. Like there's one doing it now. He's looking at this couple that is like kind of sweating while he's there going, yeah.
And then he finishes and he's like, that'll be 5 credits or whatever.
I always imagine that like they're,
they've got a basket like for tips around their neck.
Yeah, basket for tips, but they got a bag full of these like little metal slates.
Yeah.
And they like, they hit their foreheads with them and
yes.
they turn it around and it's there now.
Oh, yeah. And really important, I love that the basket for tips is around the neck because you do kind of have to reach through mandibles just a little bit to like
get there. Weddings are so awkward. Prom, don't even think about it.
And pornography is the worst.
It's just a room full of these bug people going,
ignore me. I'm trying to stay in the moment.
Leave me.
No, nobody's been able to get the moving pictures yet. Like,
no, we can't. They've tried.
They've tried through this particular thing. Like, this is the only like physical media. I'm sure there's illusion magic that could do some shit, but like, this is like hyper detailed 4K physical media. That's amazing. And they're the only species that can do it.
Yep.
Brutal.
Yeah. Well, I think you need psychic powers.
That's the rule.
It's psychic powers. Because it's a psychic thing. But these bugs are really common around here.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
That's good.
I think there was one more detail that we needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mel needs to
give
one.
Yeah. Wait, so is our building made of wood?
Yes.
How's it gonna do what, Mel?
Ask Mel. We'll figure it out, Mel.
Okay.
Have you seen Treasure
Planet? Actually, this is a good question. This is actually a really good question. So in Treasure Planet, they had this thing where they did the 70-30 rule. The 70-30 rule being it was 70% Treasure Planet time period, 1700s, age of piracy, and 30% sci-fi. So if we want to do the exact same thing or something similar to it, we can say, what is our 70%? Is our 70% like medieval England? And then it's 30% sci-fi? Or is it like, are we talking like a Regency era type thing? Like a Regency British thing? Are we talking like or are we talking like the 1980s, like, you know, we choose like a 70% that we're doing, and then we do the 30% being like, this is science fiction.
I don't even know that I want to like hold us like so hard into eras, but like we do like, I do think the biggest thing is like pirate stuff. That's got the biggest slice, and then we can pull stuff from all over because I got things that I want to do.
Okay, then the last detail about this is that it has a rooftop garden.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That. Very,
oh my
very
gosh.
Nice for this area, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the petals on the flowers are neon. That's how we make neon in this universe. There are thin glass tubes. You blend up like these flower petals, and it's like a glow stick, you know?
I love it.
So, yeah, we've got these gorgeous neon flowers overhead. As we can see on the ring above, the glowing ball that is the sun for this city, as of yet unnamed, is starting to descend behind the buildings. As you know, we're entering like later in the year where the sun is setting earlier. And we see trudging down the sidewalk, two figures walking together. Crestfallen, frazzled, like they've had a very long day. I would like for you to describe to me Ty and Petronella, being aware that you were describing them right after they have been fired.
My first thought was from where?
That's a good question. From
so,
where?
So when we were in session zero, one of the things that I had mentioned was that we were valets for a little while.
Yep.
So it could either be that, or I was thinking it could be like a Key and Peele, like we're at the front door of a building talking about Liam's Neeson and the Batman and, you know, all the weird stuff. So we're either door people or valet. Or, you know what? I think they were also valets, weren't they?
I think they might have also been valets.
They were valets.
Yeah.
You got to be bouncers.
They've done both. Yeah. But I kind of enjoyed the idea of valet. Like we
have these people's space.
Yeah.
Whips. As the kids say.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we've been fired. Great.
My first question is, how long have you had this job?
Like a month.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Ty, I would like for you to roll an int check for me.
I don't have my character sheet.
Did you install D&D Beyond on your phone?
Install it? You can, no.
Mel, what? Mel,
well, you can also bring it up in browser. You can also bring it up in browser.
I'll bring it up in the browser. Jeez, I think I did open it in the, wait, it's reloading. Hold on.
There's a level of convenience that we
have
only for this week.
It's so frustrating. It's deeply frustrating. Watsy, do better. Come on.
What do I roll?
So you're going to roll a D20.
All right, hold on. I got to get some of these. I got too many dice in my tray.
Your heavy skelly dice.
I'm going to roll my skelly dice.
Like you've got this little bones in there.
Yeah.
They don't, but they're really cool.
Whoa.
How?
17. Holy moly.
You have to be real close to read those numbers.
One.
So that's an 18.
Yeah, bud.
You were fired because you were upholding your paladin's code.
I'm so sorry.
So yeah, they're like, I want to know what conflicted with your oath.
I have to look up my oath.
Okay. In the meantime.
Yeah. Describe Petronella physically.
Petronella Genevette Annapolis Capaldi Drusa is 7 feet tall, broad shouldered, very muscular, and curvy. She is, by some standards, a lot of woman. She has a big, round, snout is the wrong word, maw, I would say, with...
She calls it a snout.
The stub, yeah, this is, yeah. But with
it's
the,
my snout.
The stubs of tusks peeking out when she talks, and little flappy ears on the top of her head, and, you know, kind of big, luminous, liquid, bluish, brownish, grayish eyes. And her skin is rubbery and thick and brownish gray in color. And her hair is dark brown, kind of short, kind of wild. Not quite in the shape of a coxcomb, but we're like on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
If she were to style it, it probably would look more like a coxcomb, but it's unstyled because she is herself a little rough around the edges. I think we're still wearing the valet uniforms.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So there's like an asymmetrical tunic in like gray with a big crimson stripe. It looks like a marching band uniform.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Lots
very
of
crisp, very crisp shoulders, asymmetrical tunic length with trousers with a stripe down the side. Very, very crisp. Very pressed.
Can you, for me, roll a wisdom check for Petronella?
14.
Okay. You were fired for defending your friend. So we will hear the reason that Taya got fired in a second. And you managed to hold yourself back from doing something that you definitely would have regretted a lot more. But you did still have an outburst that got you fired. We're going to cut over to Ty. Hun, I would like you to describe what Ty looks like and then describe for me what you did to get fired.
So Ty is a plasmoid and he is a like pastel blue, almost violet, very light in color. He holds the shape of a human man, but tries to create like gloopy, tangled hair on his head just for fun when he's not hanging out with his Huggy Boy.
Gen 1 Huggy Boy.
At work.
Yeah, no. I only really wear it at home because now everybody's just like, ugh, Huggy Boy.
Right.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. Ty has on some light armor, generally speaking. Because Ty is a plasmoid, everything just kind of sticks to him. He doesn't have what I would call cohesive clothing. He just takes the parts of things that he likes and sticks them, and they just kind of gloop onto his body. So nothing is particularly interconnected, but he does have the sickest pair of high heel boots that you've ever seen.
Does he still have the skull?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Silly me. Inside of Ty, being a paladin, he has a sigil of, what is it called? A patron?
This is a piece of reliquary.
Yes, a piece of reliquary. Yeah. Thank you. And it is a skull that has like some writing, some symbols, and a couple of jewels on it. Looks pretty cool, but he keeps it inside his goop. So inside of his face.
Something to look at.
Yeah. So you can look him in the eyes, but there's no eyes. It's just an empty skull. It's pretty great. And loves it.
How did Ty get fired?
One of the parts of his oath as a paladin is to fight corruption. I think a particular individual known for their tendency to launder money and take part in various political schemes tried to park their whip, and Ty probably had some very choice words for this bro.
Yeah. So Ty mouths off to this client in front of your boss.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in response?
My first thought is I think I try to redirect and distract the boss, which does not work well because the boss has already taken notice of this happening to this high profile client.
Yeah. So you're like putting yourself in between trying to distract the boss, which is just irritating him because he's trying to go over and stop what's happening.
It's that thing that happens in like a teen comedy where they're like, you know, but sir, this thing happened. And oh, I think my leg hurts. Can you look at it? I think I need to go to the school nurse. Like, it's like excuse to the point where there's no way the boss is believing anything that's coming out of my mouth. And he tries to get past me physically, and I physically stop him.
And smash cut to here. You are both home now. You are in front of this building next to each other. And I'm going to say, in the long walk from work, you have not said a word to each other.
I think Ty goes ahead and takes off their vest, but instead of taking it off like a normal person, they just kind of grab it. It slides through the gloop of their body and lands on the ground.
Just a little slorp. Slorp.
Yeah.
Ty.
Yeah.
You know we have to give these uniforms back.
What are they going to do if we don't?
I don't know, but we're already in debt. We've got to give them back.
Ugh. Ty recalls his gloop and picks it up.
Like, I feel like you could just put a foot over to it and slurp it up like spaghetti.
Yeah, I just slurp it up inside him. It's just in my leg now.
Like, the least we can do is just make this a clean break, right? Like, it's not the end of the world, but we do have to tie up that loose end.
Good pun, bro.
As you say that, the door to like the apartments opens. You know, obviously, like there's the facade of cafe, and then like down a bit on the block is like where you would walk in to the apartment section. The door opens, and at first it looks like no one is there. Then you scan your vision down, and you can see a small gold automaton kind of at your feet. And with how tall both of you are, like pretty very much at your feet. Now, there was a whole other thing that these things were a day ago, but now it's different. So I'm going to ask, what is this automaton of?
Oh, gosh, it can be anything.
It can be
now.
Anything.
It is a tiny automaton. I think it's a ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a ball with a face.
Great.
And that like rolls about. And sometimes little arms will come out and like.
Yeah, I think it's got four like kind of like sharp looking legs.
Is it like Infinity Train?
Yeah, it's a little similar to Infinity Train. It's like got some 1-1 vibes to it, but like it's what you see is this ball that looks to be like completely solid. That's how tightly built it is. And then springing out are these four knife legs.
Oh gosh.
That spring out and two of the knife legs like cycle around the body and rummage through a compartment, and it pulls out an 8-track tape that it like inserts into its face, and it says, "Good evening, tenants Petronella and Sklealor. I am here to remind you that your rent is partially paid or past due. Please surrender payment equivalent to 300 gold pieces by the end of the week or face forcible removal by authority. As a reminder, we do not accept Electrum pieces as it is not real money."
Right.
Bro, I told you. I go by Ty.
I don't think you can update the records now.
Apologies, Sklealor.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sklealor was my father's name.
It's just going to be what it is, man. Right. Well, okay. So if we return the uniforms and we get our deposit back on that, that'll be what? 35, whatever.
We see Petronilla like holding the bridge of her nose in a shot that is behind the automaton. And through that, we can see the evening light passing through Ty's leg, where we can see the uniform floating in goo currently that we are depending on getting our deposit back on.
Yeah, if we can get the deposit back on that, that's like 35 to 50, what do we say, credits? What was it? What
gold,
was
the money? Gold pieces.
Gold pieces. If we go to the thrift store again, we might be able to get another 50. So that's 100. Rolly, what's the total again?
Rolly.
300 gold pieces.
Okay, well, that's a third of the way there. We're almost there. Ty, any ideas at all?
I think I got some tips today.
You got tipped?
Yeah, before, you know, the problem came up. He's just kind of like... His entire torso just kind of like vibrates and jiggles, and some money kind of like plops out of his chest onto the ground.
Amazing.
Thank you for your payment. You now owe the remaining cost of 293 gold pieces.
Wow. Wow. Great. Amazing.
Every little bit counts.
Yeah.
Rolly disquietingly skitters up the wall and like walks up the stairway in like a spiral and disappears from view. We smash cut to inside the kitchen of the diner and the bottom of this place. Drew, I would like for you to describe to me your line of rabbit people. Like, they're kind of lined up, like, standing at attention right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Actually, let me look up something very quickly, because I want to look up what is the Latin name for rabbit.
It's lapine, I think.
We could either go Latin, could go Japanese, could be, like, usagi or sagis. Sagis is cute.
While he's looking this up, can I offer, mm-hmm. as the name of the city, mm-hmm. because we started with a big old cauldron,
yeah.
Caldera?
Caldera, baby!
I like it.
We're doing it!
That feels good, spacey, elaborate fantasy.
I'm ambulating here. Caldera, city of dreams.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What are they called? Usagon.
Usagon! Yeah, baby!
Problem solving. Collaboration.
Yeah, so there's a line of about five Usagon. They are lined up at attention. They are an eclectic group of... If you looked at them at first glance, you'd think, this is a bunch of mercenaries. They come in different shapes and sizes, but they're all roughly around 3 feet tall. So immediately we are seeing the restaurant from...
We're seeing, like, over a counter, we just see a row of ears
up. And we look over the counter, and there are these five Usagon. And they are all different shades, different colors. There's like a white one with the red eyes. There's like a black one, a darker color. They have earrings and would be tattoos for them. Like their fur is dyed in different colors and different things. But they're all dressed in kind of haphazardly created and makeshift and patched aprons, and in this kind of slightly uniform for what this diner is. They all stand at attention as from the kitchen side, a door, not the big door, there is a big door there, a small door at the bottom opens, and out comes what looks to be their head chef. Their head chef, he, again, is also like them in a haphazard apron that's been patched in a bunch of different places. He's got knives on his belt like all of them do. And he's got like a green bandana pulled over like his head and around his ears as they kind of stick up and back. Behind him, he's got gold rings in his ears. He's got a scar across his chin. And for some inexplicable reason, only his left foot is dyed turquoise. As he comes on out, his fur is kind of a brown color. He's got lighter patches here and there. And he comes out smoking a cigarette that he puts out on the wall and looks at everybody at the line and goes, well, looks like we're doing this fucking thing again.
Yes, chef!
Thank you, Marty. Thank you so much.
It's my honor, chef!
There's Marty. He's the first one in line. Marty, like, looks like ex-military. His fur is clean cut. His posture is immaculate. And of all of them, he looks like he's in the cleanest uniform.
He cooks things by the book.
He does, literally.
You got to do the cooking by the book.
You got to cook by the book. He is our meats, grill, and roasting chef. All right, Marty, I need you to be sure to do what the customer asks when we cook the meat.
Chef, even with substitution, chef?
With substitution, yeah. We got to make sure that the customer is happy, right? The customer's got to be happy. The last couple of times, you've done what you thought was best, and I applaud that, man. I applaud it. I really do. And he kind of, like, thumps him on the shoulder. But we got to do we got to do the order. All right. So
yes, chef.
All right.
He's fighting back tears.
All right. Hopscotch. The next one in line is our veggie and soups and sauce chef.
Allie, your hopscotch.
Chef, ready to go, sir.
Yeah.
You address your chef as chef.
Chef, yes, chef. I don't know. It feels really rigid,
Marty,
sir.
Marty, we don't need to do that. We just got to get through another shift, my friend.
I've watched too many good chefs die, sir.
this head chef turns around and goes, haven't we all?
Hopscotch looks at the head chef and is like, sir, he's been doing this all day. Like, it's a little exhausting. It's just...
Marty, when's the last time you slept, man?
Formal. So formal.
Can't sleep until it's over, chef.
Okay.
Today is important. That is a thing that we will decide why after we introduce all of our various rabbits.
Various rabbit people. What does Hopscotch look like?
Hopscotch is black and white. They're, I think, a little on the plump side for an Usagon. Not as wiry, perhaps, as the head chef is. Looks real soft. Real soft fur. Like, one of the eyes has a black patch over it, but there's black splashes all over a white furred body. And I think they have a tick where the tip of one of their ears flops down while they talk.
Cute.
It's the right ear.
Yep. Love it.
Love when you're doing the grilled and the purees that you're doing right now, the grilled purees.
Yes, thank you.
That's really good. Right now, it's kind of a hot item.
Oh, yeah.
The soups are going really good as well. Those like carrot and tomato soups are really good. People are enjoying those. Just make sure that you don't scorch them. They're a little bit burnt here and there. Like I can kind of taste it.
Oh, okay.
So just make sure you keep doing that. All right.
Hopscotch pulls out a digital pad of some kind and is taking notes, furiously taking notes and nodding. And the right ear is twitching down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Mel, what is the name of this next one?
I've been working on a voice in my head, but I haven't been working on a name.
Well, we'll give us a voice and we'll give it a name.
Yeah, we'll do it. Let's do it.
What do you want, Jeff? Like a Bugs Bunny motherfucker.
Yeah. Mugsy.
Salvatore. I like Salvatore.
Salvatore.
Caldera.
City of Dreams. The Ominous Tower.
The greatest city in the world, diverse.
Salvatore is our pastry chef.
Good.
Salvatore, you're doing great on pies.
Yeah.
Great on desserts. Doing just fine.
Uh-huh.
The beet and potato sweet pie, that was a little weird. I'm going to just be honest with you. That was a little strange.
Wow.
But you know what? Try harder.
What?
To not fuck up dessert. What? That's kind of an important thing at the diner. Pie is very important at the diner. So try to not fuck it up.
Wow, do you guys, I'm under attack here. You hear this?
We're all getting notes. That's like the whole thing. We're all getting notes.
Yeah, you will say notes. Thank you, chef.
You notes are bad. These notes suck.
Me out.
Thank you, Salvatore.
Yeah, whatever.
This next one is the,
Margosian.
I'm sorry, what?
Margosian.
Marcosio?
Margosian.
Marcosian.
This one's our brewer and our bartender and our wine connoisseur.
Is he French?
No. No, he's not.
Wait, you don't want that for us.
What is it? What does Salvatore look like?
Yeah, what does Salvatore look like?
Oh, Salvatore... A bit rough and tumble, definitely has a scar across one eye. A little stringy, but pretty like muscular. So like just thin, but like you can see the lines, not
Yep, he obviously does not eat the
Not like a pet store rabbit. Like
no.
A wild rabbit.
Like a wild, yeah, like a stringy wild rabbit.
So like grayish brown.
Yeah.
And what does Marcosian look like?
Marcosian is a large rabbit. And older too. He's got what would be like pitch black fur, except he's definitely like gray around the cheeks and muzzle. And it's so patchy. He's covered like head to toe in scars. And he has, one of his arms is a hook and one of his feet is like a wooden rabbit leg. So it's got like these spring contraptions and whatnot. And like it thuds with like a clank. And like there is sometimes like a little bit of like rusty iron screeching like as that leg moves. Yes, chef.
How's the leg treating you today, Marco?
Yeah.
That's what he says every day. All right. How are we on wine and liquor?
There's no wine.
We drank through
the wine.
Who did? Who? And like he turns around and like look at everybody. Who did? Is it? Who is it? Was it you?
What? Why does everybody look at me all the time? God.
Salvatore, was it you? Did you drink the wine or was it?
It wasn't just me.
It wasn't just, okay, then who else was it? Who else was it?
I'm no snitch.
Look, everybody has been blowing off steam leading up to the event. But the kombucha has matured.
Oh, gosh. Okay. That sounds awful, but we're gonna go with it. I don't think there's anything else we can do.
I have looked over your menu. I have seen what you have prepared. Marcosian has faced the black and mist-wrought hell of the fell places. I can make a kombucha to match your menu, and I have, chef.
I feel like the lights in the room have gone down. It's gotten dim in here.
We see this.
The camera's got a fisheye lens on it now.
This Usagon, they're standing like almost like nose to nose, but Marcosian is so much bigger than him that the head chef, they're almost like looking up. He's looking up at him and he goes, "All right, that's fine. As long as it just gets done, that's all I want today. Okay?
Okay.
Duh." I think we're going to change Marty's name to Sarge.
Sarge!
And last but not least in this line is Jessica.
Of course she is.
Jessica is our sous chef. She is she's like a strawberry blonde rabbit. She's got kind of lighter fur. But she's not as big as Marcosian, but she is like big and broad. She's got guns on her. She's obviously, while everyone else looks at least somewhat mercenary, she absolutely was at one point. She's rough and tumble like Salvatore is rough and tumble, but in the sense that like she's got scars.
You know how to use a blowgun, don't you? You just put your lips together and blow.
Stop.
You did name her Jessica Rabbit, so that's impossible to not.
I know.
No, that's who we have. That's correct.
That's who we have.
Yeah, she's our femme fatale. And
we checked with casting, and it was correct.
Oh, I also think she's missing part of an ear. She is our sous chef, and she is also in charge of seafood. Hey, Jess, I just want to make sure that you got these yokels in line.
How long have we known each other?
Well, we've known each other since we were 12, so long time.
Then you know that I've got them in line.
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm just paranoid like that.
And I was I was going to save this surprise for later, but you're a lucky boy.
How?
Well, I think you've heard of nebula oysters, haven't you?
Jess, you're not going to play my strings and tell me that you got nebula oysters and not actually had nebula oysters.
I was at the market today, and what should I see coming off one of the ships? A whole barrel full.
Those are like 3 to 5 gold pieces a pop. How did you get
that? Unless you happen to have a thing, or have had a thing at one point, with one of the people unloading it, in which case, sometimes they just fall off the back of a ship.
I'm not going to delve into that story. I'm going to accept it for what it is, and for the gold piece in my pocket that it is, my dear Usagon. Yes, chef!
Yeah, what's up?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
I'm thank you, chef. Thank you, Sarge. Thank you, Sean. Oh, my gosh. And we can visibly see that this head chef, his hands are shaking a little bit. I'm going to go into the break room real quick. I'm going to go finish up the schedules. I want to finish prep for the event. And then we'll do this thing. Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, chef!
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll try to make it not suck this
Stations,
time.
Everyone!
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Sarge.
She, like, jumps out of her skin and then runs to her station.
Thank you, Sarge.
Can Sarge actually be younger?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sarge is, like, young. Sarge is, like, the youngest of these six.
And well, second youngest. I feel like Alice is probably the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And
then it's Sarge.
Sarge is, like, only a little bit older, but, like, trying to play
he's
it, like...
very he's... stressful. He stresses me out.
Bad vibes.
As we turn around, everyone runs off to their stations, and we're left with this one Herringon who goes into the break room. Again, big door, and opens a tiny door to go into it. And he goes over to, like, a mirror. There's a little basin with water. And kind of splashes his face when he looks at himself in the mirror and he goes, okay, Harker, this is it. And I think we cut from there.
All right. We cut outside the building as like it is grown a bit darker and we can hear echoing through the streets, even with the hubbub of the living city around, a loud and deep grinding sound.
Somebody! Hey!
And a rock gets thrown up against one of the porthole windows, like, and I'm just going to say smashes right through.
Are we up in our apartment at
you
this
gotta
point?
Be. Yeah.
So we're up in the apartment. We've changed clothes. I think Petey is furiously trying to press the uniforms so that we get our deposit back.
Pressing the slime
clean,
out.
Pressing the slime out. And that window, which is already cracked and already dinged from other things, which will go unspoken of, the rock shatters the glass and bounces off the back of Petey's thick-skinned head. And she stops and she takes a breath. And she goes to the porthole and sticks her entire head out of it and goes, what?
It pops out.
Oh, hey, Petey! Hi! Hey!
Oh, what?
I need help.
With what?
With this.
And he turns around, and there is a massive crate that is, like, covered in chains all around that he has been dragging down the sidewalk. You can see long lines of scraped up concrete behind him where he has been like pushing and pulling this thing from God knows where for God knows how long.
Did you describe this person?
This person is a small, dark, like gray, almost black, dragonling creature. It's got the classic pointed nose and little claws, a mantle of like tiny horns on his head. His eyes glow with like a kind of like dark and fiery orange that is like almost neon in the night. His scales are covered in little white, like off-white spots, and he is wearing around his neck like a little spiked collar. He's got a graphic tee and cargo shorts on. He also wears across his back a katana.
Is it a him-sized katana or like a regular katana?
It's a regular-sized katana. Great. So it's like a him-sized, what's the big katana?
Oh, it's an Odachi.
Odachi, yeah.
Yeah, great. Petey doesn't move for a moment. Her eyes roll back into her skull and then she takes another breath. What is that?
It is my future career, or I should say the future of my career.
Again, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What's the one thing I've been missing? Our entire relationship. What's the one thing I've been missing?
One thing? A sense of self-awareness, maybe?
I like the idea that even with Petey's head, like, shoved through the window very tightly, that you could, like, ooze your head through.
Oh, yeah. I just kind of, like, ooze out next to Petey and just, like, can I have an idea of what might be in that crate? I want to hazard a guess.
Roll a d20.
Nine.
You're close, but not right. So,
do you have a direction you want this to go? What could
this is like trashy. This is like kind of like modern gamer trashy, and it's huge. This is so much bigger than him, and it's in this massive crate covered in chains. And it's okay. You can say anything because you can be wrong about it.
I know. I'm trying to come up with something good. Oh, dude, is that the new V3.86965 VR from Trash Corp?
Okay, what's the other thing that I'm missing?
I mean, I already said self-awareness, but we're ignoring that. So is it energy drinks?
No, I have energy drinks.
They were bad, though.
It's a gamer chair.
Oh, my God.
A chair designed for gaming.
You can game in any chair.
No.
Yes.
What?
That looks way too big for you, bro.
Yeah.
Look. This sounds like somebody, this is the opinion of somebody who's got like a dozen followers at most.
Right. So what do you want help with?
I would like help moving this upstairs.
To where?
Well, the attic.
You live in a crawl space.
Yes, but it connects to the attic.
And you want to put it in the attic?
Yes, I want to put it in the attic where the rest of my streaming rig is.
Is the attic tall enough for that chair?
I don't know.
It looks huge.
It's smaller than the box. The box is larger than the thing, obviously.
Why didn't you take it out of the box?
Yeah.
Wait, take it out of the attic? Like, did the street get all over it? And the grime?
Okay.
And the dirt?
So you need our help to move
I just got this.
You need our help to move that crate upstairs.
Yes.
What are you going to give us for doing it?
I don't know, like 50 gold?
Really?
Yeah.
75?
Okay.
You know what? Let me come down. Let me just see. So she pops her head back through.
I think like, so I imagine that this much commotion on the street has to be gathering some sort of attention. I think there are trash goblins, trash gremlins in the shadows that are like, what is that? That is a person. That is a person with something too big that we can take.
Trash gremlins are evolved from raccoons.
Correct.
Oh, absolutely. They're
just raccoons.
Yeah. Well, they've eaten magical trash.
Yes.
And so they have like, it's like, there is a spectrum, a slider that is between gremlins from the movie Gremlins and raccoons and they're on that spectrum.
They're on that slider,
somewhere along there. But yeah, like they're large, reflective eyes are in the shadows, recognizing somebody who cannot lift this thing and take it much further, and is currently in distress and something they can take.
Hey! He draws the katana and like waves it around. Why, you've been fucking in the trash? I've studied the blade.
There's definitely like in the shadows as they
get out of here. Get out of here.
Move around, but they're like starting to move over to the other side.
While Petey moves down the stairs, Ty just kind of oozes out the window and plops onto the street.
Oh, like just slides.
Yeah, like Alex Mack.
Just slimes down the side of the building. Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely a power that you have.
I think the front door bangs open and Petey walks out. Hey, back off.
One absolutely latches onto your leg and like tries to like bite you.
Yeah, go ahead. And then she lifts the leg and then flicks it like a bug.
Sack, as he is called, is now that the threat has like dissolved itself, like trying to fit the end of his katana back into the sheath, because it is so large for him that his arms can barely spread out long enough.
Petey walks over and like one-handed helps him put it back into the sheath while she's looking at the crate. This, where did you even get this?
It was a gift.
Insight. That's an 8, actually. Not great.
Sack gets gifts fairly often. It's one of the things that is a little annoying about Sack, especially because he gets gifts. The deliveries come to your apartment and get delivered inside your apartment. And sometimes there's like a little pile of boxes for Sack. And the gifts come from his patrons. And his patrons are demons. They're imps. So they deliver some stuff that, like, sometimes it's wriggling, you know? Like, you don't want it hanging out in your apartment. But technically, the entrance to his place is through your apartment.
Okay, a gift. But, like, why didn't it get delivered? Why did you have to carry it?
Well, I had to pick it up from the center. Look at it. It's huge.
It's big for you. Well, and I think Petey sort of grabs the sides of it and tests it. I mean, it's kind of heavy.
Ty slurps over to the other side.
Yeah, 100 gold. I think we can get it upstairs.
100 gold?
50 each, bro. Come on.
Right. Because otherwise I could just pick it up, and she does, and just take it back to the center.
No, fine.
All the way here.
Fine.
Great.
Fine. 50 gold each. Just take it up. Help me unpack it and set it up.
Fine.
Yeah.
You're not streaming it, though.
Well, hold on. I'm actually knocking something off the price if I can't unbox my gamer chair.
Can you do that thing where you blur our faces out?
I can.
Okay, then do that. I don't want to be on the stream. I don't want to be on the stream, Zach.
I can blur my own face. And then Ty just kind of like vibrates.
Vibrates?
Like, great. Yeah, fine. Great for you. I don't want to be on the stream, Zach. Okay?
Sure. Not on the stream.
Fine.
What's up, Nether Regions?
I fucking hate this.
What is he holding up? Like,
okay. It has to be weird.
Like an object that he is casting through?
I think it looks like a very sick rat. And he's explained many times, there's nothing wrong with the rat. That's just how these rats look. It's constantly like oozing from its nose.
Oh, gosh.
And like every time like the stream starts or stops, it like coughs or sneezes. And its eyes are way too big for its head. And they like glow red. And the pupils kind of like wobble and vibrate. Like, you know, Hypnotoad from Futurama. It's got like a little bit of that effect in the eyes. And if you look into them, you will see into hell. So it's not advisable to look directly into the eyes.
Can I offer a tidbit? What if the tail wraps around your forearm?
Oh, yeah. Like possum style. Yeah, for sure.
So it's like on there and you have to like get it off.
Yeah. I mean, if you're square, you get it off. I love it. It's wearable tech.
He just wears it all the time. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Really cool right now.
You know, I can get texts on this thing.
So it's cool. It's like chitter. Heart rate on it.
It will chitter things every once in a while.
How many steps did you do today? Because I know how many steps I did today. Yep. Oh, yeah. When it does talk, and it talks in the screams of the damned. And like to you, it's incomprehensible screaming of like people who have been condemned to the beyond. But Sack seems to understand to get information from it.
I hate this. I really hate this. Yeah, it kind of like goes against my code to like, you know, see the damned and all that.
Does it?
But, well... I thought you paladin know, and
like,
all that.
You can go your own way or whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. But like overall, paladins are more like the healing.
Well, I mean, they're the damned. They are there for a reason or they made a bad deal.
I guess that is their problem.
It's sort of a gray area.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if you're a prison abolitionist, then I could see having a problem with this, but. We've been doing eternal damnation for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, why break the streak?
It's not really our job to decide.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's get this thing upstairs.
Yeah.
So I think they take it upstairs and unbox it in the attic.
We cut back to, what did you say, an office of the bathroom that you
had? Oh, it was it's the break room.
The break room. There is a knock at the, restaurants, do they usually have break rooms?
Oh, yeah, there's gotta be something back there for people to, that's not a walk-in cooler.
Okay.
And if not, Harker made sure that there was one.
I like that. So yeah, there's a knock at the door.
We see Harker. There's like a chalkboard and he's writing out like the schedule for like what he's expecting for tonight. He's scratching his fur on his face and goes, yeah, come in.
It's a big night. How we feeling?
I'm doing fine, Jessica. Doing just fine. Is everything ready? Everything good?
Everything's ready.
Okay.
Everything's been ready for weeks.
All right. It's going to be good.
I know it's going to be.
It's going to be good.
You know that it's going to be.
I'm like 85% sure that it's going to be good, which is pretty high for me. But it's. I'm just going to tell myself it's going to be good. And when it's done, we're going to have enough money, and we're going to sell the diner. That's the plan, and we will get off this fucking rock.
I know you want to sell the diner. I just think there are other ways to go about it. We don't have to do it this way. And I wanted to give you one more opportunity. Everybody is down to work so hard. We're going to work so hard tonight.
Yeah.
But we've been here. How long's it been, Harker? Humor me.
8 years.
8 years. People love this place. People love what you've done with this place.
Okay. All right. I'll rethink it.
Don't rethink everything. Don't rethink everything. Just tonight, what I want you to do, when you're putting on this big show, when you're revealing this big new menu, I want you to think about what you're doing. Notice that people like you. Notice that you're a success. In some ways, it doesn't need to be all the ways all at once right away.
I can't do that. No. I'll try. I can. And he like punches the wall. I can do it. It's fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Okay.
Drew, I need you to roll a dinner preparation dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Wow.
Was it bad?
That was a two. A total of six.
Total of six? I thought your dex save was eight.
It's a save.
Yeah,
I'm so
dex
sorry.
Saving.
I just rolled a dex. Dex save. Here we go. All right, let's try that again. That's much better. That's a 17.
17. Okay. 17 is good. That means this kitchen is operating near peak efficiency. Harker, someone who has worked in this business as long as you, who has run as many kitchens as you have run, knows that there are areas for improvement, but this team is working so much better than they have in the past. You have a unique setup here at the Lucky Finn. Part of that unique setup is you are one of the few kitchens where the chefs are actually the wait staff also.
Yeah.
That's having a team of Usagons. They're pretty quick. So they can manage these materials. And you've organized their preparation down to a near perfect science. There are flaws, there are holes, but you're so, so very close. Everything is going really well, but Drew, you did roll poorly to start.
Yeah.
And I do have to honor that in some way. So we'll call that a luck roll.
Okay.
And what that is going to come up as is I think Jessica goes to flip the closed to open as there is a long line of people that is formed up and they have inadvertently, they thought the scrape marks along the sidewalk were some kind of line that is like preparing people to enter the restaurant. So they have lined up on like this really haphazard and winding line that is along those scrape marks to open, and people start flooding in, and then we hear click, 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 click.
What is that? What does that sound?
Boss, we have problem.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming in. Please come on in. Take your seats. Thank you so much. Marco, what is it? What is Marco? What
are you? The guess she is no.
I beg your pardon. Are you telling me there's no way to light the stoves?
Chef, the fryer is not taking power either.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No, thank you. No. Good to see you. It is so good to see you, William.
Chef.
Sit down. Thank you.
Chef. The blenders won't turn on.
Is there no power?
The blenders won't turn on.
Is there no power?
How am I supposed to puree without the blenders?
Chef. Hey, look, I know you told me not to fuck up the desserts, but like the puff pastry,
you're doing Thai. Fuck!
I'm doing both. The pastry won't puff up. The puff pastry won't puff.
Okay.
Yes, of course the puff pastry won't puff up. There is no heat to make it puff.
Everyone, in the kitchen.
These Usagon, their ears,
the door cut.
The door slightly closes on all these cottontails that pop through.
Everything was fine. Everything was fine. We tested it. We checked it. We had the breakfast.
So you're saying there's no magical energy running through the kitchen?
I guess. I'm not.
Is it a brownout? Is it a blackout? Is the rest of the neighborhood like looks outside and there's the neon? We always see pulls a blind.
Neon is working fine.
It says in neon.
Yep.
Invest in neon.
Okay. Continue to prep. And we can at least get the hors d'oeuvres out. Most of those are not cooked. So let's make sure that we get them the fresh greens and the salads, get those out to them.
Yes, chef.
Thank you, Sarge. And I'm going to go. Oh, fuck. I'll figure this out.
The dragon wing. This is his area, no? This is why they allow him to stay between our walls, wriggling like some unseen fell thing from the place of shadows and mist.
Hopscotch's ear is twitching uncontrollably. Can we not use the word wriggling?
What is his name? Is it Scratch? Is it Scrunch? What is it?
Zachary.
Zachary?
Zachary.
Zachary. Like the vessel.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. 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 I'm going to go have a talk with them. And we see him go over and like just grab like a chef's knife and like put it in his sleeve. And he's like, and I'll take care of it one way or another. Keep going. Keep going. He goes, he opens the door. And the moment he opens the door, people turn to like look. And he's like, hi, hi everyone. Hello. Please sit down. We'll be getting you some hors d'oeuvres. Excuse me. Some hors d'oeuvres and a nice salad. And we will have your drinks out for you. Please, if you have drink orders, please put them into the pneumatic tubes. They will come straight to us. Thank you so much. And we're going to take care of this. This is great. He's saying this whole thing as he's going across the restaurant, the diner, and begins to go up the staircase that goes up to the next level. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. It's like his face is down there. And we hope you enjoy your time here at the Lucky Finn. The fuck is he? And he like heads down the hall to go and find your room where there's suddenly a... It's a light. It's a light tap.
I mean, we're in the attic setting up the gamer chair, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
If they're not here, where are they? Okay. And he's like, there's only another one in the place. And he like goes to the next one and then goes upstairs one more time to go to where there is like a little attic crawl space that's literally between this level and like the top deck.
I think there is enough space to stand.
Oh, up absolutely.
Here. What this is like, this is also the machine room for this place. So like, yeah, but it is roof access. You go up to the roof and then like you open a hatch.
It's literally the engine room.
Yeah. But
there's, you know, there's no need for it. So he goes and it's this crawl space where he gets up there, gets to the door and is like,
what?
It's probably one of the pipes. They've been doing that a lot.
That's not a pipe.
I'm not a pipe.
Ty, get the door.
I'm outside.
Petey's got like a wrench out and putting things together.
Ty is holding something up currently, but goops an arm, stretches it out, and like opens, grabs the door latch and pulls it open.
And you see an Usagon standing there like with a chef's knife going, where is he? Where is he?
Okay.
There is no power in the building.
I mean, there's power up here.
What? Is there?
I mean, yeah, the lights are off right now, but we're unboxing.
Yeah. Try turning on the light. Go ahead. Try turning it on.
Ty stretches another arm out, flips a switch.
Nothing.
What?
And Sack is on the other side of the box.
And the thing about these chairs is the way they pack them is just beautiful. Like, look at these chains. You know, you don't get this for your standard chair. You get an office chair, you get a patio chair, you get any kind of chair. It's not going to look like this. Not going to look quality, not going to look exciting.
So I think
I have a restaurant to run.
I think Petey drops the wrench and then in like we're seeing the camcorder view that Sack's patrons are seeing, and there's this enormous hand that comes into the frame and grabs
Sack by the face.
By the face. What happened to the power, Sack?
What? I don't know.
The building's out.
It's an old place. Sometimes the power goes out.
Fix it.
What do you have plugged in up here? And he like he's rooting around trying to find.
Hey, stay away from my rig. Stay away from my rig. Pick up
these.
Sack, there is an entire restaurant downstairs. There's multiple apartments in the building. Fix it.
Oh my gosh. Fine. Hang on. Hey gamers, don't worry, don't hit that dial. We're just gonna take a quick bio break, but we'll be right back with Zach.
Oh, no. Oh, I hate that. That's real bad.
Sack, Sack, like, squeezes
the rat,
like, around, like, the neck, and its eyes, like, bulge, like, you know that little, little squeezy toy where, like, their eyes, and it does that thing, and then it, like, coughs with the cough of, like, a 40-year smoker, and it, like, deactivates. It looks kind of out of it. It's like, that's healthy for it, I swear. All right. Let's see what we got here, folks. I'm going to roll an Arcana. And that is, gotta bring up Sack's character sheet here. Sack, like, grabs a little toolkit that's hung up on the wall, and he crawls around the device, like, just sort of like there are a bunch of things that, like, look kind of similar to boilers and like kind of like halfway between like an old school like furnace and like a mad scientist laboratory. There are vacuum tubes there, like, it's all just like archaic technology. There are Tesla coils, but there are also like bands and you know, like spirals and wires and whatnot. He crawls around and inside the thing and like connects one tube to another, pulls out a bulb, throws it against the wall, it shatters. He'll like go, hey, hand me the box of bulbs. And like,
which one? Where is it?
Any box, anywhere.
Harker opens a box. It's not the bulbs. What is it instead?
It is like erotica.
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness. Oh, I didn't. Okay, I didn't. Oh, that was lizardy. Okay, that's a lot of scales. Yeah, that's not just any box, Sack.
Okay. Then look for, do you want this done quickly or not? Look around. Oh, fine, use your
eyes. Fine. I'm going to make an investigation.
The next box you open is just spring snakes and they all just bounce.
Why do you even have these?
But they're alive.
Yes.
It's a 14.
14. Yeah. You easily like, you know, after like you got the spring snakes box, you open one that like looks like it's got you know, some scarves or whatnot packing it in. So you pull out and it's just like a long unending string of scarves.
Were you into close up magic for a while?
It was a gimmick that I was working on. I swear it's in that area. If you're there, you're getting close.
All right, right. Yeah, here's a bulb. Take it.
Yeah. He plugs that in. And this like neon turquoise energy like starts crackling up around this thing. And then everything whirs to life with like a kaleidoscopic neon hum.
Is that normal? I've never been up here. Is that normal?
I mean, define normal.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Starwall Odyssey is a One-Shot Network production. It stars Mel D'Amato as Ty, Ali Grauer as Petronilla, Drew Merzieski as Harker and Co-GM, and me, James D'Amato, as Sack and Co-GM. This series was edited by Ryan Bolter, with music taken from the Soundstripe catalog. The full first episode, Session Zeros, and the rest of the production can be found on the One-Shot Patreon at patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions.
Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.